And we are in Ames, Iowa, broadcasting from Iowa Public Radio. The caucus is now just a week underway. Finally, voters get to speak. Last night's Republican debate was supposed to be Ted Cruz's night to shine, with Donald Trump staging his own event. Poor Iowans. Both were broadcast, so they had to toggle back and forth. So let's see what people are saying. Let's bring in our Iowa roundtable. Joyce Russell, a reporter from Iowa Public Radio, joins me in the studio. Hi, Joyce.
Hello, Robin.
And Kay Henderson is news director for Radio Iowa. She's over there in Des Moines, so far away, way over there in Des Moines. Hi, Kay.
Greetings.
Nice to speak with you as well. And I just want to start with both of you. Who do you think won lost? Joyce, you first.
Well, I thought Cruz did very well. I know some people are saying that his jokes fell flat. Mm-hmm. I liked his opening joke where he said, everybody on this stage is fat and ugly, and Ben, you're a terrible surgeon. Then he went on to say, just get the Trump attitude out of the way.
Yeah, he was just trying to make this joke about, you know, I'll criticize all you the way Donald Trump would. And he made another joke. Let's stay there for a second. Here's the beginning of it. This is when Ted Cruz was tangling with moderator Chris Wallace. Let's listen.
The last four questions have been, Rand, please attack Ted. Marco, please attack Ted. Chris, please attack Ted. Jeb, please attack Ted. Let me just say this.
It is a debate, sir.
Oops, there's Chris Wallace stepping on his line, Kay, because he went on to say, no, wait, my punchline is, I'm going to leave the stage if there are any more mean questions. Your thoughts, Kay, on did Cruz, I mean, some people are saying he felt flat, but I'm hearing Joyce say, and I kind of thought, actually, he had some good lines there.
Well, I think what you saw, if you were watching that debate, already having a favorite heading in, that your favorite performed the way you expected him to. So I don't think that moved the needle. I think what may happen is people may have watched this debate, and then they're going to wait for the Iowa poll to come out on Saturday night, the poll that comes out from the Des Moines Register, and it will either cause them to say, okay, I've picked a winner, or it may cause them to say, okay, I may need to go to my second or third choice.
Really, Kay, explain that to us, because we thought we're meeting them too, these Iowans who are so independent, they actually go out and, you know,
right,
a huge percentage of them do. They actually ask questions, they actually make up their own minds. You're saying, like the rest of the country, they're waiting for a poll?
Well, I think we underestimate how many people may walk into their precinct on caucus night undecided. The other unknown factor here is in each of the Republican caucuses and the Democrats, too, one of your neighbors is going to stand up and give a little speech about why they support candidate X, Y, or Z. A, if you've had a long-running dispute with the neighbor who's supporting candidate X, that may make you think, okay, I'm going to support candidate Y. I mean, this is a really personal decision that people are making in a neighborhood precinct.
Joyce, weigh in on that.
Well, I would just say that here's an example of how complex that choice is for Republican voters. I've heard at least one Republican voter say, I like Rubio, but I hate Trump, so I'm going to vote for Cruz to stop Trump.
Ugh.
I mean, I think there are similar machinations going on.
Things like that. Well, speaking of Rubio, he, of course, was the longtime, almost, I guess you'd say, protege of Jeb Bush. That's been gone.
Yeah.
You know, that friend, that bromance, as they say, has been over. And Jeb Bush is said to have shown last night. So let's hear an exchange between Jeb Bush, who mentioned his $2.99 book about immigration reform, and Marco Rubio. Let's listen.
It's interesting that Jeb mentions the book. That is the book where you changed your position on immigration, because you used to support a path to citizenship.
So did you.
Well, but you changed the book in the book.
So did you, Marco.
You wrote a book where you changed your position from... No,
Joyce, they really tangled a lot last night.
Yeah, they did. And of course, immigration is one of the top issues in this campaign on the Republican side. And both of them being from Florida, they have had moderate views on immigration. And now they're up there against Cruz and Trump and the others, and they've had to defend those past positions.
And Kay, remind us why immigration reform might be a big issue in Iowa. I mean, or is it just part of the national piece? And I mention that because when we flew in, we thought we'd be surrounded by people coming in to work on the caucuses. And there were some. It was a little early, though, on Wednesday. But our plane was filled with, first of all, there was a Chinese basketball team coming to play. There were a lot of immigrants coming in a resettlement program. We saw immigrants from Myanmar, South Sudan. It was fascinating to us. So talk about how that issue is resonating here.
Well, Joyce and I have both, over the course of the past couple of months, been trying to follow the Latino Vote Iowa process, whereby a group has been trying to turn out at least 10,000 Latino voters in Iowa. And if you look at some of the demographics, there are communities in Iowa, like Columbus Junction, where over half of the residents in the community are Hispanic or Latino. Iowa's overall population is 5.6% Latino-Hispanic, according to the latest data from the U.S. Census Bureau. And just to put that in perspective, there are now more Latinos and Hispanics living in Iowa than there are Iowans who derive a majority of their income from the act of farming.
Huh. Well, that's fascinating. So it is an issue that people are well aware of here. I want to, you know, that we're going to file that for a future story. But I want to move on to another candidate before we go to the Democratic side. Chris Christie, at least in the Des Moines Register's poll of their Iowans that were watching with them, Chris Christie got a lot of points from Iowans. He turned a question about his own Bridgegate scandal, the one he's accused of being involved in New Jersey, into a slam against Hillary Clinton. Let's listen.
And there is no one on this stage better prepared to prosecute the case against Hillary Clinton than I am. I will be ready. I will take her on. And when I take her on, I guarantee you one thing. She will never get within 10 miles of the White House. The days for the Clintons in public housing are over.
And Joyce, it seemed as if, with Trump out of the way, in fact, the attention seemed to be on the Clintons and Barack Obama.
Right. And Chris Christie, you know, he hasn't spent as much time as some of the other candidates have in Iowa. He did attract some very high-profile mainstream conservative Republican support, but it hasn't shown up in the polls that much. But that cut that you just played shows a kind of hot take that he has, very passionate, and I think that's, you know, people are responding to that.
Well, Joyce, before we go to the Democratic side, what more do Iowans need to hear? What I mean, I thought without Trump there, there were a lot of issues there. But what more do they need to hear about on the Republican side?
What more do they need to hear about? Yeah. Well, maybe some more on immigration. Maybe they need to hear more about how tough each one will be against Hillary Clinton. And Christie has been one of the toughest in the
group. How about against ISIS, Kay?
At this point, I don't think it's as much about the issues as I think it is about the personality. And if that candidate embodies the type of personality they see standing on stage debating Hillary Clinton in the fall, number one. Number two, I think often we overlook likability. The likability of a candidate is a big factor. That's why people are looking at Rubio's performance and some of the ways that undecided voters were reacting to that and thinking that he may have a path here to do better in Iowa than people thought earlier.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a look at the Democrats. We know that they've got a dust-up about debates on their own side. MSNBC and the New Hampshire Union Leader want to hold an unsanctioned debate next week. It's not organized by the DNC. And so Bernie Sanders in particular is concerned that he may get shut out of the sanctioned debates, because that's the rule if you do an unsanctioned debate. Martin O'Malley, Hillary Clinton say they want to be there. You know, what's going on here, Kay? You start. Why doesn't the New Hampshire Union Leader and MSNBC just call it something else? Call it a forum.
Well, they could do what CNN did this past Tuesday night, Monday night in Iowa, and have each of the candidates appear at a forum, but not appear at the same time against one another, having a conversation, instead having a conversation with an audience like they did here in Iowa. They answered questions from the audience.
Yeah. Well, and Bernie Sanders, I just want to touch on him because he released his medical records, Joyce. He's 74. His doctor says in good health. But he got angry at a Bloomberg Politics breakfast in Iowa yesterday. I think somebody misunderstood what he's doing. We know that in the state, he's trying to get Iowans who live here to come home from their colleges to their towns, because you have to go to your town caucus. But he was asked if his campaign was busing in out-of-state college students to caucus for him. Let's listen.
This is a lie, an absolute lie. Okay? We will win or we'll lose. We do it honestly. And I really dislike people suggesting what we're going to bring in students from out of state who are going to perjure themselves by saying they live in Iowa. Is that what they're saying? But if this is the kind of stuff that they are planting, that's negative stuff.
Joy?
Yeah, I have to say that he's absolutely right on that. I think it would be very surprising if if that was actually happening. But I think that those comments indicate just how much he is resonating with younger voters.
People trying to hit at him. Look, Robin, just a few seconds. Oh, go ahead.
Robin, the big thing here is what they're trying to do is not run up the score in college towns. They're trying to take supporters who aren't needed to get them delegates in towns like Iowa City and where you are in Ames and pan them out across the state so they can get more delegates elsewhere.
Right. And just briefly, speaking of young people and caucuses, let's just listen to Stephen Colbert try to figure out what it is with Face of the Nation host John Dickerson.
They're up for grabs.
They're not casting ballots here?
No.
They're just in rooms?
Yeah, they're in rooms.
Are they playing like Red Rover, Red Rover? Send your delegates on over? Well, how does it work?
Well, actually, that's not true.
So we just want listeners to know we're going to have reporting on what a caucus is. Kay Henderson, news director of Radio Iowa. Joyce Russell, reporter for Iowa Public Radio. They know, and they'll continue to help us understand it all by Monday. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.